Well, we do, on behalf of Presbytery, congratulate the Coleraine congregation on the building of this magnificent hall. And we do pray the Lord will bless you in it. Now, I want to turn to Genesis 35, the book of Genesis, chapter 35. And it is a joy to be able to preach the first sermon in this building just officially opened. I'm not going to read a long portion because of time. It's difficult to know at the opening of a hall what portion to speak on, but I believe the Lord is directed to this portion of Scripture. Our presbytery has rejoiced in the progress of the work here in Coleraine, indeed even during the interim moderatorship of Mr. Millen, and now with the ordination and installation of your new minister. And of course, I was taking part a few weeks ago at that service, and we do praise the Lord with you. Now, you've added to the site. It was in 1982 that the original building was erected here on this site. And now, some 26 years later, you've built again. You've built again. And I thought of a story in Scripture that has some similarities. You see, in Genesis 35, Jacob and Mr. Wiley read from Psalm 46, and the last words were, "The God of Jacob is with us." Well, Jacob came back to a place where he had built possibly some 25 to 30 years before, and he's going to build something else at the same site, just as you've built another building on the same site. Genesis 35, verse 1. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel," that means the house of God, by the way, "and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise, and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." And then please, for time, go down to verse 6. "So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is in Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." And then please, if you would go down to verse 14, God meets with him, tells him his name was going to be Israel from now on. And in verse 14, "And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel." The house of God. Could we bow just for a short word of prayer? Our Father, as we turn now to thy precious word, we thank thee for thy presence already with us. But Lord, we have heard the reading earlier that the God of Jacob is with us. Lord, may we be conscious of that now as we talk about Jacob and how God came to him and met with him. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I see that you haven't put a clock in the hall yet. Maybe after I preach, you'll get one up. But we'll not be too long. I just want to speak in this passage for a few moments, and I trust that you know the story of Jacob. You see, here Jacob comes back to a special place, a place that was very dear to his heart, because the reading has already pointed out that he had been there before. And that place was truly a Bethel, a house of God to him. So he builds an altar. And then he builds a large pillar. Some commentators think it was with more than one stone. He built a memorial. A memorial. Thinking back to what had happened those years before. And in a sense, you've chosen to name this building, of course, after the late Reverend John Wiley, one of the founding ministers of our denomination, as a memorial to his memory. And of course, to the grace of God in his life. And how good God has been to us in the past. You know, the place is mentioned three times in this chapter. Bethel, Bethel, Bethel. I don't take the time, but I was reading even this morning in Genesis 28 when Jacob first met with God at this place. You'll find five times the place. Jacob fleeing from his brother Esau. He lighted upon a certain place. He had took a stone for a pillow at that place. And then when he awoke in the morning, he said, I didn't know the Lord was in this place. And then you'll find him saying he called that place Bethel. That place, that's what I want to speak about, that place this afternoon. That wonderful place where he comes back after almost 30 years and builds again. Actually, if you look at verse 7 of the chapter, he gives it a different name. He calls it El Bethel now. What that means is the God of the house of God. And so, this afternoon, for a few moments, it's not even so much about the place of which we speak. We want to speak about the God of the place, the God of Jacob. I want you to focus your attention upon Jacob's God, rejoicing that that God can be your God as well. The wonderful God of Jacob. You see, why was this place so special? And I trust this hall will be a special place to you. Why was that site so special? Three things. It was the place where he received a vision of the Savior. He received a vision of the Savior in that place. Now, we need to go back to chapter 28 to see about that. You see, in chapter 28, you have Jacob fleeing from his brother. He's actually probably about 40 years old now. And he's fleeing from his brother Esau. And you'll find that in verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place. That's this site. And he tarried there because the sun was setting. He took stones for a pillow. In other words, it was a dark, it was night. It was desert, it was dry. Had to get a stone for his pillow, surrounded by desert. And here's this man, and he's all alone. Now, he had lived with his father Isaac, and his granddad was called Abraham, and the Bible says he lived with him in a tent. Those two men knew God personally. But here's this young man, if you think 40's young, and he's running away from home, and he's afraid, and he's wondering what the future's going to hold. He has to leave. He knows about God. He has heard his grandfather and his father talk about God and how God had met with them. Indeed, do you know in chapter 12 of Genesis, God met with Abraham at this very same site, Bethel. The first time Abraham built an altar, he built it at this same place. So Jacob knew about God. He had heard the stories about God, but as yet he didn't know God personally. He didn't know God. And you know, the description where this man was is a picture of us. He was in the dark. The Bible says that's you and I when we're born into this world. We're in darkness spiritually, the understanding being darkened. I know people make fun of, have you seen the light? Well, salvation is seeing the light, because we're all in darkness. Ah, but he was surrounded by desert as well, and that's a picture of us without Christ. Because the things of the world don't satisfy. The older you get, you soon find that out. Nothing wrong with money. Nice house, nice possessions. The Bible doesn't condemn that made lawfully. But there's no satisfaction in those things in and of themselves. And this man, surrounded by desert, is a description of his life. Ah, but he was under sentence of death because his brother was out to kill him. And the Bible says that we are in danger of eternal death if we know not Christ, who is the life. And that's a description of you and I in the dark, in the desert, with no life, with no fruitfulness. And here's this man. He's what we call a man who doesn't know God. He's unregenerate, is the term. Oh yes, he's heard about God. And how many in our land have heard about God? And maybe you're here this afternoon and your father's been in this church and your grandfather and they have met with the Lord in this place. You may have come to the services and worship with them. But here in this hall today, you have to be honest. You do not know your grandfather or father's God personally. Do you know him this afternoon? Really know him as a friend? Well, what happened in this place? Well, Jacob went to sleep. He went to sleep. And he discovered he had a wonderful dream. He had a wonderful dream. Now, God spoke to people in dreams in those days because the Bible wasn't complete. When I think of a dream, I can't help thinking about a young man had been going with this girl for quite a long time. And he said to her one day, "You know, I dreamed about you last night." She said, "Well, what did you dream?" "Well, I dreamt I asked you to marry me." "What do you think that means?" She said to him, "It means you have more sense when you're asleep than when you're awake." "Well, do you know Jacob had more sense when he was asleep?" Now, this was a divine dream. And God showed him a ladder. In fact, in Genesis 28, and I daren't go to the chapter for time, there's three beholds. Look, this is something important. And it was, behold, a ladder. Indeed, the actual meaning of the Hebrew is a wide stairway. Don't be thinking of a ladder you sort of have to climb up. It's a stairway. I don't know the architecture of it. But the meaning in the Hebrew is it's a wide stairway. And it started on earth. And it went all the way right into heaven. And he saw angels going up and down on this ladder. Now you say, well, what's the interpretation? What does that mean? Well, we don't have to speculate. I don't have to give my opinion this afternoon of what that means. Because in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 51, the Bible tells you what it means. Because the Lord Jesus Christ talked to a man called Nathanael. And he told Nathanael, "I saw you under the tree." He said, "How could you see me? You are the Son of God." And then Christ said to him that if he followed him, you shall see angels ascending and descending upon, listen, not the Son of God, same person, but the Son of Man. Christ is that stairway. Jacob saw Christ. He saw the gospel. Because Christ, he touches heaven, for he's the Son of God. He's God the Son. But the great miracle of Bethlehem is God the Son, he came down to this earth and he became a man and he knew what it was to be tired, to be weary, to be disappointed, to weep, to suffer. He touches heaven because he's God and he touches us men and women because he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He's the only ladder between the third heaven where God dwells, the Holy God, before whom we cannot stand because of our sin, for he's holy. He cannot look at sin. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ bridges that great gulf. Because he came into this world to deal with the sin problem. God is holy. We're sinners. How can I, a sinner, come into God's presence? Well, the sins I've committed need to be paid for. But the great message is that God, the Son, the Son of Man, he's sinless. And therefore in Calvary, he took my sins. And he paid the complete debt. And he said, "It is finished." And I do not have to pay for sin, because I couldn't. But Christ paid it all. But you know, it's more than that in the gospel. That's only half the message. To be in heaven, you need a perfect righteousness. You need a perfect righteousness. How do we get that? Because not one of us is righteous. But the Lord Jesus Christ lived as man upon this earth and he kept the law perfectly. Never sinned in word, thought, or deed. And when a man or woman comes to Christ and trusts him as Savior and Lord, not only is the debt of your sin cancelled out, but all Christ's righteousness is put to your account. That's the word the treasurer uses. Credited. It's put to your account. That's what we call justification. We know in and of ourselves we're sinners, but we come to God through Christ. Through Christ. He is the stairway, because his perfect righteousness is put to our account. Now Jacob began to see that night. He was learning. Now he was looking forward to the day the Savior would come. And then he was told to look. Behold the ladder, because there were angels ascending and descending upon it. That's an illustration of all God's blessings to us, because angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. God will take care of you. See, Jacob was afraid of the future. Now, when he saw those angels, God was saying, Jacob, I'll take care of you. That there's one coming into this world. We look back, he has already come. And he is the bridge between heaven and earth. The stairway between sinful man and a holy God to enable us to be in heaven. But you know, God spoke to Jacob. The Lord spoke to him. And it's wonderful in chapter 28 what the Lord said. Seven times he said, thee. Now, of course, that's Old English, but I'm glad it's there because you, we use it today. That can mean you one or you a lot. Isn't that right? We use you for second person singular or plural. But when we use the Old English thee, and that's the way it's translated in the King James, seven times, thee, I will be with thee. I will keep thee. In other words, there's no doubt about it, Jacob, it's you. It's you. Personally, individually. Here's what I'm saying. You can meet God in this special site here where this hall has been opened. You can meet God and you can have God speak to you individually. Not the person beside you, not people in general, but you individually. Seven times God said, I will, I will, I will. Jacob, I'll be with you. You see, God was the God of Abraham and Isaac, but now he became the God of Jacob. And those are salvation promises. I'll be with you. I'll keep you. I'll watch over you. And I believe this man experienced conversion. That's why he loved this place. That's why these 30 odd years later he's coming back and he builds again at the same site. Because there's not just an ordinary piece of ground. These are just bricks and wood. An ordinary soil and ground outside, we know that. But yet, it can be special to you because you can meet with God here. And God met with Jacob, he experienced conversion. Conversion. He had a vision of the Saviour. A vision of the Saviour. But you know, he heard that voice of God. He heard a voice from God. God spoke to him. You see, I want to emphasize this. Please don't think this afternoon, because of this story, that you ask God for a dream. Don't envy Jacob and said, oh, well, if I was living back in those days, it would be great. I could get a dream like that. God, give it. No, 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 no. Listen, you have something far, far, far better. Something far more reliable. You have God's word. You see, God spoke to Jacob. Spoke to him. Already said that, the I wills. God spoke. He heard the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God today? Not audibly. Oh, I know there are people today make great claims of God told them this and God told them that and all the other things. Well, thank God we've a written word of God and this is what God said. And we believe it's finished. Here's the complete revelation. It's not what the church says, our church or any church. It's not what any preacher says. Always examine and we're careful to say this. Don't take what the man who preaches says on face value and says, oh, I'll just believe everything he said. Check it with the book. It's the book. It's the scripture. This is God's word. And you can take up the word of God for yourself and read it. And God can speak to you out of this word. And there at Bethel, this special site, Jacob experienced God speaking to him. And now almost 30 years later, he's back again at the same place and God speaks to him again. Oh, that every time you gather in this hall that God would speak to you. That you would hear his voice. That you would hear his message to you. And you know what's a wonderful thing, and I hope you have time to study this when you go home. In the midst of all those, I will, I will, I will. It talks about that I will make of you a seed. And you'll bless all families. You know, that was the gospel. You say, how could that be the gospel? Because over in Galatians 3 and 8 in the New Testament, it says God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Do you know there's some people believe that those promises to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were only restricted to the physical descendants, what we call the Israelites. That they only have a physical fulfillment in the sense that, well, that means that all the world will be blessed through Israelites, through Jews, through the physical descendants of Abraham. Well, that is not the Bible teaching at all. Can't be. Because God says he preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee and in thy seed. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Because Paul says in Galatians, it's seed singular. Singular, one person. One person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because do you know that Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, humanly speaking, was the descendant of Jacob? In other words, he believed the gospel. Oh, I trust you will hear God speaking to you and giving you the gospel. He received comfort here. In other words, at this place it was special for he had a vision of the Savior and he knew conversion. He heard the voice of God and he received comfort. And oh, how many times when we come to God's house and the Word of God is opened, that's where we get comfort. I know it can be in your own room. When you study the Bible, God gives comfort. But there's a special blessing when we meet together as a people and someone opens the Word of God. And often the preacher has no idea how reading a verse or saying something, God the Holy Spirit can take it and bring comfort. May many be converted in this hall. May many find comfort in this hall. May this hall be used to the glorifying of God. One other thing. Why was this site so special to Jacob? Why did he come back 25 years later and meet with God again and think back to the time when he was converted? Think back to the time God had given him comfort from his word and again God gave him comfort? Because it was a place where he made a vow to God. It was not only a place of conversion and comfort, it was a place of consecration. Do you remember over in chapter 28 what he did when he awoke? He said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. He woke up and he said, I didn't know when I came here. I just thought it was an ordinary place. I didn't think there was any significance to it. It was just like anywhere else. But oh, this morning I realized the Lord is here. Oh, have you ever had that happen to you? You know, the Lord is here. This ladder went all the way from that site of Bethel. And do you know, at this moment, we cannot see this with the natural eye. It's spiritually true. From this hall where we sit now, thank God there's a ladder that reaches all the way to heaven, because the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Because when two or three are gathered in his name, he's here in the midst. He's here this afternoon. Are you conscious of the Lord being here? Have you a God consciousness? He said, surely the Lord is in this place. Now he changed the name. Because the name of that place was called Luz. You'll read that in chapter 28. Luz. You know what it means in Hebrew? Separation. And he changes it to the house of God. When he came to that place, you see, he was not a man that knew God. Now he knows God. Now, and he does something. He builds that pillar, that memorial. And he pours oil upon it. What does that mean? It's a witness. This man who didn't know God before, the next morning he wants people to know that he loves God. And that God is his. So he anoints it with oil. And an interesting thing is, in chapter 28, he said, if, it means since the Lord is with me, I'll give a tenth of all I have to him. That was part of the vow. And I must commend you, and your giving here is quite evident. And of course, it's already been intimated in the Free Presbyterian Church, we don't publish. I know some churches publish what so-and-so give. We don't do that. We believe it's a matter between an individual and God, what they give to the church. And all our churches hold to that. But yet, it's evident that in this church, there's a people that love the Lord and give to his work. Jacob didn't give in order to earn salvation. He gave because he had obtained salvation. Do you know what the word Jacob means? Grabber, heel grabber. Remember, he was born, he was holding the heel of his older brother, the twin. It became a name for a twister, a cheat. Grabber. His philosophy was give me, give me, give me. Now it is give. He'd been a converted man. He made a vow. This place this afternoon ought to be a place where you make a vow to God. A vow to be the Lord's. But just very quickly, in chapter 35, let me just show you something there, and then we'll bring our thoughts to a close. But this is very important. When you think, and we're thinking of him building again on the same site where he had been. In chapter 35, verse 14, look what he does. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering. Now what's that? This is the first mention of drink offering in the Bible. We could go to Exodus 29, we could go to Numbers, we could go to Leviticus. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, they would often take wine. You know, they had the sacrifices, the animals, the blood, and they'd sometimes pour out wine at the altar before the Lord. Wine, a symbol of Christ's precious blood shed on Calvary for us. But it also had a secondary symbol. The wine was poured out and the altar evaporates, sends up to God. Do you know in the New Testament we're told what that symbolizes? The Old Testament is a book of symbols and pictures. Paul, writing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, do you know what he says, the Apostle Paul? He said, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you." Do you know what it means literally in the Greek? If I be offered as a drink offering for you. Paul said, just as in the Old Testament, and this is the first time it occurs, Jacob poured a drink offering upon that building. Sounds strange to us, doesn't it? This little memorial out of the stones he had built, he poured some wine upon it. Solemnly before God. And Paul said, what that means is this: I give my life back to God as a drink offering. That's what Jacob, I believe, was symbolizing too. I'm the Lord's. That's the mean, the place of a vow. And then what else? He poured oil on it. In verse 14, he poured oil, the Holy Spirit. Of course, Christ was anointed with oil above his fellows, a picture of Christ. But it's a picture of us giving our lives to the Lord and being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And thank God this afternoon in this hall. And this is why it's a joy to be here and see the progress of the work, but it's also a joy to be in this meeting and to have the great privilege and opportunity to be the first one to preach a sermon here. And we're thrilled for this reason, because here at this site, here in this building, you can have the same experience as Jacob, for he's the God of Jacob. You may say, but I'm not religious, I'm not a very church-going person, I'm not a very good... Listen, Jacob's name means he was a cheat. Jacob had nothing to recommend him to God. It's God took the initiative. It was God sought Jacob out. And thank God when you preach this book and preach the gospel, we pray that God the Holy Spirit would come and touch lives. And if you've never come to know Christ as your Savior, that here in this hall this afternoon, you can meet God. You can meet God here. Right where you sit, you can turn to Him. This can be a Bethel to you today. This can be a Bethel. You know, there's a story told about London. There's been variations of this. There's one about a cross as well. You know how sometimes of a cross. But the story is told that in London many years ago, there was a club had started called the Gates of Hell. By the way, the Bible here speaks about Bethel was the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. Christ is the gate to heaven. The Bible also speaks about the gates of hell over in Matthew 16. There was a man stopped a policeman and said, "Can you tell me, I'm trying to look for this nightclub, the Gates of Hell. Would you tell me how to get to the Gates of Hell?" And the policeman was a Christian. He said, "Well, that's easy to tell you. You go down this street, turn left, go down. You'll see a church, it's called Calvary Church. Just go by Calvary and you'll come to the Gates of Hell." That's true spiritually. That's true spiritually. Go by Calvary. Go by Calvary. Reject Christ. It's to go out to meet God. Unprepared. But thank God today, this place can be a Bethel. And I would say here, where maybe a young person with your grandfather, your father, maybe your mother, and there even in the other building, maybe they came to know Christ there, but certainly they can say, well, at different occasions, heaven came down and God spoke with us. Has God ever spoken to you? Have you ever had that God consciousness, oh, this afternoon, that you wouldn't delay, but you would come and trust him? And those of us, and those of you that profess his name, you know, at the opening of this hall is a time not only to have a vision of the Saviour again and to hear the voice of God, but to make that vow to God that from this afternoon henceforth, the God of Jacob will be my God and I will serve him. May God make this building, this Reverend John Wiley Memorial Hall, indeed a Bethel, a very special place to you all.